I cannot help but just enjoy the nature. I was driving here, just beautiful. Even, I mean, every place you look, left, right, is just heavenly. Yeah, we need to build three tents here. Let's see. Hello. Okay. Yeah, it works. Yesterday I was talking to the youth, young adult, whatever, and I told them that there are several types of prayer in the Bible. Specifically, I found 8 types of prayer. I'm not going to go through those types of prayer. It takes too long. It takes about 12 hours to go through the prayer seminar. But I'm going to say that out of 8 types, only 2 you can pray all the time. The prayer of intercession and the prayer of relationship, when you seek God's presence in your life. The others, like prayer of petition. You follow me? I have them on the prayer seminar. In fact, one morning we could just quick take a look, you know, and so you can have an idea about them. The others, you should not pray all the time. For instance, King Zedekiah, I think it was, he said, "Lord, I want to live a little more. I don't want to die." And God said, "No, you die." I said, "No, I want to live." And he prayed and prayed and prayed and pushed God. And God said, "Okay," and gave him 15 more years. And that was a disaster for him, for his family, and for the whole kingdom, for the whole Israel. Because in that time, he showed to Babylonians the riches of the temple, and they came and took Israel in Babylon. You remember? So basically, we need to do what Paul did. Paul said, "If I die, I'll be glad to die for Christ. And if I live, I'll be glad to live for Christ." We need to surrender our lives and accept God's will, because we don't know the picture. We don't know the future. We don't know anything. We just need to learn to trust our God. It's all by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to have a relationship with God. We cannot understand the picture. We should not even try to make sense, because we think based on the information we have, the way we are raised, the emotions we go through. Unless we know all that God knows, we cannot make the right decision. And if Jesus said, "May your will be done, not mine," in the garden, you remember? "Take the cup away." And God said, "No, you have to drink this cup." If Jesus accepted God's will, who am I to do different than God's plan? But it happens that so many times we have our plans and we pray, and if God doesn't work the way we ask, we get discouraged. And our faith depends on answered prayers and on good life, depends on comfort and blessings. And if we don't receive an answer or a blessing or help in some specific challenge that we go through, we get discouraged and lose faith. And right there, our faith should be stronger. Because there is no way to grow unless we go through challenges. There is a quotation in the Spirit of Prophecy that says that the challenges are the fiery furnace that God uses to purify character and to teach us patience and faith and total dependence on God. Through trials, God is teaching us, is growing us. And you got to think about people of faith. For instance, Daniel. His parents were killed. He was castrated. I don't know if you are aware of that. But they made him an eunuch. And then, after you see your parents killed before your eyes, and after they do that to you, he had to walk 3 months through the desert. And he got to a country where he knew nobody, he didn't know the language, different culture, not his home. And in that situation, he says, let me represent you properly and serve you. I think he prayed that God would save his people and would save his family, and God didn't seem to answer that prayer. And Daniel didn't know the picture, didn't know the story. We know the story, but he didn't. If you were him, would you have lost your faith? If you are Job, I mean, every time we face a challenge, we get discouraged. If you are Job, how would you react? If you are Joseph and you went to prison innocent and you spent 7 years in prison and you don't know that God is going to get you out and make you prime minister of Egypt, you don't know that. You are in prison, it seems forever. How would you react? As soon as we hit the smallest challenge, we lose our faith. And we forget that all things, how much it means all. I checked the word in Greek. You know how it's translated in Greek? All. All things. You know, that means everything. Work together. Because if God allowed it, it means we need it. Then why try to solve it and pray to solve it? I know it sounds crazy, but shouldn't we rather say, instead of, Lord, please solve it, shouldn't we say, Lord, help me to grow because you do know what I am going through. God is not in vacation. God is not asleep. God didn't take a break. God still loves you the same. Shouldn't we say, Lord, help me learn the lesson that you intended me to learn through this trial. Because if we submit, if we surrender, then we don't have to repeat the class. We could move to the next grade. You follow me? We don't have to repeat the same quiz, the same test. But we, instead of learning the test, we fight it again and again, like Jacob, again and again. And we pray, Lord, please help me in this trial. And God says, I sent it. And then after we pray, we try to solve it. And we put skins on us and say, I am Esau. And we get what we want to get. Instead of believing, having faith that God has the power to solve that, God would have given Jacob the promise. God would have given Abraham the promise. God didn't need Abraham's help. God was able to give them a kid. And we forget. He had to marry his slave to get a kid, and he made a mess. Instead of waiting for the promise, wait upon the Lord. God is able to solve your problem. You give it to God, and you wait. In the morning, says in Psalm, I pray and lay my request before the Lord, and then I wait expectantly. I wait expecting an answer because I know my God. And so all these trials work for us a measure of faith that is necessary to be ready for the final crisis and to build a heavenly character. How could we be in heaven with an earthly character? Character we don't build when we get to heaven. Character we build today, not tomorrow. And so in all this, we should rather pray and say, Lord, if you allowed it to build my character because you know what I need, help me learn my lessons. That would allow God to work in us and would keep our mind normal. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. That's your choice to let them or not be troubled. It is all about who you put your eyes on. Do you put your eyes on problems or you put your eyes on Jesus? And so, saying that, we are supposed to pray without ceasing, but not the prayers that we pray. Please, please, please solve this problem. Please, please, please. And if he doesn't answer, we lose our faith. We get discouraged and depressed. We'd rather pray and say, Lord, you allow this. I take it joyfully. But you promise me when you go through the fire, it doesn't say if you go. It says when you go. You will go. It's just a matter of time. When you go through fire, when you go through water, I will be with you. You are never alone. I inscribed you on my palms. Even if a mother would forget her children, I will never forget you. And we forget all this stuff because we don't know our God. We know about God, but not God. And the more we spend time with him and the more we surrender, the more we know him and the more we sense his presence. And the spirit of prophecy says that those that spend time in God's presence sense, I'm going to give you the quotation probably tomorrow morning, sense God's presence and the heavenly angels' presence around them all the time. You feel it. You sense it. You know that he is there. And so, you learn to fully surrender and trust. And that faith builds character and heavenly nature in us. Without faith, it's impossible to deal with God. Abraham believed, and it was considered to him as righteousness. In Hebrew, it does not say so. It says, quote, Abraham believed, and listen carefully, word by word. I could put the Bible Works program on the screen and show you the Hebrew original and word by word the translation. And it says like this, Abraham believed, and God considered him as righteous as God himself. That's a wow. God knows that you are not righteous, but in the moment you start trusting him, in that moment God says, you are righteous. Now I can work. Because it doesn't depend on how you are. It depends on how much you allow him to work in you. It depends on him. And you need to trust in him. And it all happens by faith. Therefore, prayer should not be so much to solve problems. There is nothing wrong to present our problems before him. But we spend more time asking for help than seeking his presence. We should spend time seeking his presence, seeking to know him, to trust him, to understand how he works, to understand his will. And so, I'm going to share with you a little about how to pray today. And I'm going to talk about intercessory prayer, commitment to prayer. Moreover, as for me, far it be from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Listen carefully. Do you get what it says there? That when you stop praying intercessory prayer, you actually sin. It is a sin against God to stop praying for others. Have you ever realized that actually it is a sin to stop praying intercessory prayer? Jesus said to Peter, Satan is going to shake you, but I will pray for you. Jesus, in the heavenly sanctuary, it is, according to the book of Hebrew, our lawyer doing what? Intercession. Prayer of intercession for us before God, presenting his blood and his own merits for you day and night. He never stops praying for you. And we are called to pray intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is not when you pray for a job for your kid. It's when you pray for salvation for your kid. Amen. Oh, Lord, help my kid get a new car. That's not intercessory prayer. That's petition prayer. Okay? Intercessory prayer has to do with eternity, with salvation. Jesus came to save. And to pray for others, intercessory prayer is when you pray for their salvation. I had a church member in Wisconsin long ago. Wisconsin, it is somewhere in north. I'm kidding. And she came to me and said, Pastor, I've been praying for my son for almost 40 years, and God did not answer my prayer. I said, Sister, God answered every day that prayer. It's just that your son didn't allow God yet to change him. Because there is a quotation in the spirit of prophecy that I have here, actually, that says, quote, word by word, you can Google it, go on Ellen G. White Estate, go to search, put these words, and you find it. To every, how many? Everyone. To every honest prayer, an answer will come. And then it says, but it will be wrong to assume that God would answer the way we want in the time we want. But God does answer. And so I told her, keep praying for him, because every day you pray, you give God an opportunity to work that day with your son. And if he rejects God, you pray again tomorrow, and God works again tomorrow. And if he rejects God, you pray again next day, and God has an opportunity to work again next day. And as long as you pray, God keeps working. And the more you pray, the more God works. And eventually, your son has either to totally turn around or to change. But you need to keep praying to give God opportunity to keep working. And she said, okay. And I said to her, you don't need to see how God works in order to trust in God. You need to trust in God, period. Because faith is not based on what you see. What you see is science. Faith you cannot touch, you cannot see, you cannot explain, you cannot smell. Faith is based on relationship, not on proof. Okay? And so she kept praying. Jo was her name. And she prayed 40 years for her son, and she died. She had a stroke. I went to hospital. She was in coma. She was in coma for about 4 or 5 days, and she passed away. And she died without seeing an answer to her prayer. Her son came to her funeral, and I preached the greatest hope that Christians have and the others don't, the second coming. And he started to cry. Before that, when she was alive, she would call him and say, Michael, mom, please turn around. If you ever talk about God, I will never talk to you again. I will change my address. I will change my telephone number. I hate God. I hate you. Leave me alone. That was tough for a mother. And so he came to her funeral, and I talked about the hope of second coming, about heaven opening, and Jesus coming and resurrected the dead. And they come, and they go to heaven, and they are changed, same face, but different nature. No more sin, no more pain. And I talked about the beauty of heaven, eternity, and so on and so forth. And he was crying. And he came to me after the funeral, and he said, I know mom will be there, but I'm not sure I will. I said, you? You make me laugh. Are you kidding me? You are a stinker. She suffered all her life because of you. If I was her, you would have been spanked every day. He said, are you kidding, Pastor? I said, do you think I'm kidding? He says, man, you Romanians, you talk straightforward. I said, just stay two feet away from me. I feel like spanking you right now. If you're my kid, you'll have been spanked by now. This lady died crying for you. And he says, I want to be there. I want to see mom. I said, now we talk. I said, what do you want me to do? I want you to baptize me. I said, let me think about it. He said, what? I said, I'm kidding. I will baptize you, but first we need to study a little together. And we did some study. And then he got baptized. And then he became later deacon, and then the first deacon, and then elder, and then the head elder. And then he said, Pastor, I just want to tell others about my experience with the Lord. I said, let's do that. I said, I have a plan. Let's go to Monroe, Wisconsin. There is no Adventist church. You and me, let's plant a church there. And we went there, and another 2-3 families. And we were there, planted a church, and then 2, and then 5, and then 10, 70 people there. And he became the head elder, and the pastor there. He was not the pastor, but he was playing the pastor when I was not there, you know. And I told him when I moved from Wisconsin, you know, when Jesus comes, your mom is going to have a great surprise. She's going to say, you stinker here? You know? This is going to be the greatest, nicest surprise that she'll have after Jesus. She sees Jesus, and then she sees you and says, you here? Wow! He did, after all, answer my prayer. She didn't see the answer. She died in hope. To every honest prayer, an answer will come. But it would be wrong to assume that God will answer in the time you want, in the way you want. God has his ways. You just need to keep praying. And let God do his job. Okay? And so, how do you pray? How do you pray? I have two boys. I have two boys. In fact, I'm going to show you. Do you see myself? I am the good looking in the picture, the single good looking. That's me. thank you. I'm kidding. It's not me. It's my wife. He's right. And that's my wife. And the one in the right side in white t-shirt is Gabriel. And the one in the left side that is taller, it's Ovidio. Now, Gabriel is the old one, and Ovi is the young one. Gabriel, the one in white, was a stinker. Ovi, he was like his mom. He's a saint. That guy never said anything wrong, never did anything wrong, got straight A's in school, worked all his life, never spent money, never touched drugs or alcohol or anything like that, never had a girlfriend. He was always obeying. He goes to church. He gets involved in the church. He's a saint. I said, man, what a kid, you know. Gabriel, on the other hand, he was like me. My mom got gray hair since she was young. I didn't need ideas. I had so many, I didn't even need to think about doing stupid stuff. They just came. It was like I invented the stupid stuff. Never did drugs. Never had a girlfriend. Never touched alcohol. That was not my thing. But, hello. When people came to church, I took a big, you know, those things that you drink with, those straw, there are some of them that they are plastic and they are a little thicker. I don't know if you know what I am talking about. I took those and I took rice or those little soy beans, and I would take one in my mouth. I was at the balcony during the church service, and I would hit people in the head. And that was fun. Oh, I loved it. And then I would go, those that came with the bicycle, I would unscrew the screws from the wheels, but leave the wheel in place, and then take a fishing line, the thickest possible, and tie under the seat, leave it like 10 feet long, and tie behind the tree. And people would come from the church, get on the bicycle, ping, and the wheels would go, and the bicycle would drop, and they would drop. And I laughed forever. I had fun. And I could go on. I don't want to say too much because there are kids and I give them ideas. But I did that from morning through night, including the night. And I was never short in ideas. We went camping, the youth from the church. I took jelly jam from the breakfast. I told them that I am hungry, and I took a spoon and put in every shoe during the night. Every shoe, a spoon. In the morning, everybody was like sticky and ants. And I mean, you cannot even imagine. And that was nothing. I could go on and on. During the night, I would take shaving cream and pour it on every face. In the morning, everybody was like... And I was... Everybody was desperate. This kid is crazy. And they would go and tell my mom, he drives us crazy. He never stops. And my mom would go to my dad crying. And my dad would say, hey, I did the same. And my dad prayed for me and I changed. So I prayed for him and he will change. And I was listening. I had a cup that I would put on the door and hear what they talk. And I smiled and I said, he's not going to punish me. Then he came. Instead of punishing me, he gave me a hug and said, I did just like you. And then he said, and my dad prayed for me, and I am praying for you. And God is going to turn all this energy and use it in good. Can you imagine that? Because I will never stop praying for you. Because I love you. I knew that my dad was praying for me. Do you follow me? Well, my son did worse than me. Because besides stupid stuff and pranks, he also got into alcohol and speeding. He got 32, 33 speeding tickets in 1 year. That's quite a lot. 6 car accidents in 1 year. One time, he fell asleep driving, and he hit 6 cars, plus his 7 ruined cars. They were parked, and tang, 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 he hit all of them before he was able to stop. Another time, he was driving. It was raining. He was coming from Collegedale, from Tennessee, to Wisconsin, home for Christmas. He was sleeping. It was raining. He was driving 95 miles per hour. He fell asleep. When he woke up, he was hitting the foot of the bridge of a different street going over the interstate. He pulled the wheel. The car went spinning for about 200 feet and jumped off the road in a deep valley. And the car was free falling 27 feet and fell in a swamp with mud and weeds. And the car sunk in the weeds and was covered. An 18-wheeler that was driving saw the car spinning and then disappeared. So he called the police. They came and they could not find him. And they looked 2 miles back and forth and they could not find him because the car sunk and then was covered. You follow me? And my son, every time I would tell him, man, you started to get bad grades. You started to get speeding tickets. You started to, your insurance went sky high. I said, stop being stupid. What's wrong with you? Dad, leave me alone. I'm young. I need to have fun. I said, no. This is not fun. This is craziness and foolishness. You can have fun without being crazy and killing yourself. Dad, I need to have fun. I am young. He stopped going to church. He stopped praying. And I said, you need to go to church. He said, nah, I know there is a God, but I don't have time for God. I need to have fun. When I am your age, then I go to church. What do you mean, my age? I hate when they say that. I told him, I have more energy than 10 like you. And he said, don't talk to me about God again. When I called him again, I said, hey, I'm praying for you. He said, stop praying for me. I don't care your prayers. Well, I told him, if you keep getting speeding tickets, I will stop paying your insurance. He got more speeding tickets. I stopped paying the insurance. His mama, you know, mothers are emotional. Let's keep paying. He called her. He said, if we don't pay, he will never talk to us again. He will hate us. Let's keep paying. I said, honey, no, we don't keep paying. We have been paying for 2 years his stupidity. Now we did your way, now we do my way. We don't pay, we stop paying his insurance. I didn't pay that month. He called, you need to pay my insurance. I said, nope. Yes, you do. I said, no. I hate you. I said, I love you too. I'll never talk to you again. I said, that's okay, bye. He called me back. I said, what? You said you'll never talk to me again. Oh, well, I'll never talk to you again, but pay my insurance. I said, nope. Bye. He called again. I will not talk to you again. I will not come home. I will not go to church. I don't want to see you. I said, okay. Bye. Dana, my wife, honey, how could you do that? I said, honey, I love our kid as you love our kid. Just let me do it my way a little. Well, he didn't have money. I didn't send him money anymore. So he could not pay rent. So he said, I don't need your money. I'm going to move in with my friends that we drink together. Do you think that friends keep him? Oh, no. After one night, they say, now you go back. When he had no money, after 2-3 days, he had no friends. Uh-huh. When money go, friends disappear. They evaporate. When you have money, friends appear like mushrooms after the rain. And so he had no more friends, no more money. He was walking to work and walking to school. He called me, Dad, can you at least send me $20 to get gas? I said, no. You need to stop. He started to drink. You need to stop drinking. You need to stop speeding. When you have 6 months that you are accident-free, speeding tickets free, then I'm going to pay half of your insurance. And then after another 6 months that you really behave, I may pay it all again. But as soon as I hear that you drink or you speed, I said, I don't pay. Please, Dad. I said you'll not call me back. Why are you calling me? Oh, Dad, I need you. I said, oh, okay. I thought you say I love you. And I kept praying for him. And my wife fasted for him once a week, every Wednesday. I fasted every day, 2 hours at a time. Exactly. I cannot fast more than 2 hours. But I did pray for him. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And God did not seem to answer. And we prayed 2 years, every day, every day, every day, every day. But in that time, he started to have more and more and more and more accidents. And one time he called me, he said, I have accidents because you pray. And when you pray, God doesn't leave me alone. And he wants to get my attention. And because I don't listen, he sends accidents my way. Stop praying for me. I said, well, you can say whatever you want. I'll not stop praying for you. I said, I'm going to keep praying. I hate you. I said, that's okay. One day, one Sabbath, he would not go to church. In Sabbath, he would be on the lake. He said, well, during the week, I have school and job. Saturday, I am free. So Saturday, I have fun. And he was on the lake in Chattanooga, skiing. And he wanted to prove how great he is to his stupid friends. And he jumped in the air to flip. And he lost the handle. And the handle came and took his ear off. And he fished his ear from the water, and then he fainted. His friends took him, put him in the boat, got him to the hospital. They put his ear back. The doctor told him, if the handle hit you 1 inch to the left, you'd have died instantaneously. He called me from hospital. He said, Dad, God saved my life. I'm going to turn around. Do you think he turned around? Oh, no. A week later, he told me, oh, no, this is how it happened. When the handle came off, I was leaning this direction, and that's the reason he didn't hit me here, but here. It was not God. When he was in the mud with the car under the mud and the police was looking for him, he tried to open the doors. Too much pressure. Doors would not open. He tried to start the car. The car was dead. He tried to lower the windows. The car was dead. He put the keys. Not even lights would come on. The car was absolutely dead. And after 2 hours there in the mud, after he tried everything, he prayed and said, Lord, if you forgive me and if you save me, I'm going to turn around. After he prayed, he put the key and the lights came on. And he lowered the window and he crawled through the window up the hill to the road. And the police came with a crane and pulled his car from the mud. He got home about 8 hours later than he should have. My wife said, honey, he is late. He had an accident. I said, I think so. The way he drives, he's an accident waiting to happen. And so we prayed for him those 8 hours that he was supposed to already be home. And he calls, he says, I had an accident, but God saved me, and this is what happened. I said, we have been praying for you. He said, I'm going to turn around. Do you think he turned around? No, he didn't, because he was stupid. And he kept doing stupid stuff, and we kept praying. And my wife said, he will never turn around. I said, he will, because we keep praying. And one Sabbath, he took his buddies, and they took the four-wheelers, the ATVs. You know the four-wheelers, those motorcycles with four wheels? And they went in Chattanooga, in the mountains. And they wanted to prove who is the greatest among them that would go up the mountain with the four-wheeler. And none of them managed. And he wanted to show that he is better than the others. So he went back. He got speed. He went up the mountain. And the four-wheeler tipped over and caught his head between the four-wheeler and the rock and took part of his skull, part of the bone, crushed bone on the rock, shattered helmet, splinters of bone coming through the eye. They took him to hospital, and the doctor called us and gave him about 4 hours to live. Now, let me ask you something. When the doctor calls you and says, your kid has about 4 hours, how do you pray? Lord, thank you for being with me last night. Please help my son to heal. Amen. That's the way you pray? Because usually that's how we pray and we think we pray. Now, if you really want God to answer, you need to labor in prayer. You need to mean it. You need to pray life and death prayer, like Jesus in the garden, like Jacob fighting Jesus when he was fighting the whole night. You remember those fat Japanese people that fight and nobody wins and it takes like 4 hours a fight? That's how you need to pray. You labor in prayer. Oh, Lord, amen. That's no prayer. That's baloney. You pretend that you pray. You do your duty, and you don't even remember what you said because you say the same words every day. We didn't, amen. When the doctor called and said he has 4 hours, I called the president of Wisconsin Conference. I said, I'm going there. He said, go. We got in the car, 12-hour trip. We drove in 9 hours and 15 minutes, and I'm not a speeder. I drive 5 miles over the speed limit. But as soon as I see people or cars, or I slow down. In 22 years of America, I got one speeding ticket. In 22 years, one. That's not bad, is it? But that trip, if they would have caught me, they would have taken my pilot license because I was flying. I mean, 12-hour trip. I did in 9 hours and 15 minutes. And 9 hours and 15 minutes, we prayed without stop. We didn't listen to music. We prayed because that's how you are supposed to pray. Now, the first 5 hours, we prayed, Lord, please save his life, save his life, save. That's praying our will. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit has to intercede for us because we don't even know how to pray. But in Greek says we don't know what to ask. I told the youth yesterday, pray for what to pray before you pray for what you pray. Pray for what to pray before you pray for it. Because you don't know. You don't know if you should pray for that. You think you need to pray for that, but God says, no, 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 I need you to pray for something different. So you need to ask God what to pray for before you pray for it. You follow me? So we prayed our will. Lord, please heal him. Please save him. Please, please, please save his life. And 5 hours, God did not answer that prayer. And you're stressed and laboring in prayer. And God did not answer. And after 5 hours of fighting God and saying, please save his life, God spoke in my mind and said, you need to accept. You need to accept it. Let it go. And that was a difficult prayer. But remember, folks, whatever we try to save, we lose. And only what we give up and sacrifice and lose, that's what we save. Because whoever tries to save his life will lose it. Jesus says more than that. Who doesn't hate mother and father and mother-in-law, that's the easiest one, and son and daughter, is not worthy to be my... By the way, the word there is misheo. Misheo doesn't mean to hate. Translated means to love less than. Misheo means to love less than. So Jesus says, whoever doesn't love less than me, mother and father and son and daughter, is not worthy to be my job and house, and whoever doesn't love them less than me is not my follower. You need to learn to love God more than. You follow me? Abraham had to sacrifice his son to learn that nothing should come between him and God. Because the spirit of prophecy says that his son became his God, his idol. He put his son above God. And he had to sacrifice his son in order to get his son. And he thought he would lose his son. But when he was willing to give up his son, then finally he got his son. God doesn't want to take stuff from you. God doesn't need stuff. But God wants you to learn to put God first. And he is asking you to sacrifice stuff to learn to put God first. And so, God spoke in my mind and said, give up your son. That was a tough prayer to pray. So after 5 hours of please, 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 save his life, I finally prayed the other prayer. I said, Lord, I accept it. If you want to take his life, take it. But save his eternal life. That one, I will not give up. Because that's intercessory prayer. And to stop praying intercessory prayer, it's a sin. God told us to pray for one another. And so, I said to God, I will accept if he dies. But I will not accept him to lose eternity. When I pray that prayer, in that instant, God answered my prayer. In that instant, in a powerful way, he spoke in my mind and said, I will answer that part. He will be saved. So I told my wife, honey, God answered, but only part of the prayer. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, God did not answer the save his life prayer, but the save his eternal life prayer. I cannot take that. I cannot accept that. I said, honey, you need to learn to accept God's will as Jesus did. To say, nevertheless, thy will be done. I cannot do that. I said, well, then God cannot answer and cannot work. You need to learn to put God first and accept God's will above your will. Because God is God. He should be the master, not you. And she started to cry. And she started to pray. I said, Lord, up to you. I will accept it. Then she told me, now I got peace in my heart. After we said amen, after about 5.5-6 hours of praying, right away, the doctor called and said, Mr. Goya, something strange. We did MRI, we did CAT scan, we did ultrasounds. There is no brain damage. He will make it. Only when we gave up his life and we put his eternity above these transitory things, only then God was able to save his life. Because whatever you give up, that's what you get. And we need to learn to give it all to God.
So the doctor said, he will be saved, but I am not sure if he will be paralyzed or not. I said, well, it's in God's hands. I am okay. He called about 1 hour later. There is no nerve touched. There is no nothing. He will not be paralyzed. He will still be able to walk. I said, yep, he will still be able to do stupid stuff. Okay. Half an hour later, he called. We did MRI. We did CAT scan on the eye. There are splinters of bone coming through the eye, but the optical nerve is not touched. He has 20/20 vision. But he may be ugly. I said, that's okay. Girls are not going to go with him. I'm okay. He was never good looking to begin with. Don't worry about it. We got to Chattanooga. We went to hospital. They did 5 surgeries to build the right side of the face to match the left side of the face. And they put 5 titanium plates on the right side. Now, let me show you. I lost my remote. A picture. Do you see this picture? He's in the right side. This is after surgery. Do you see anything there? Any scar, anything? He's good looking, like his mama, you know? And so they did 5 surgeries. And after 5 surgeries, he came out looking just the way, even better than he was before. He was all bandages, except the left eye. He woke up and he says to me, am I dead? I said, son, what's wrong with you? We are Adventists. We believe that dead people don't talk. He said, yeah, I know. I know that. I know I'm not dead if I talk. I said, okay. He says, you pray for me again, didn't you? Yes. That's the reason God doesn't leave me alone. I said, well, if you are so stupid that he cannot get your attention, he's going to use whatever he takes to get your attention. But he was not in the business to kill you. God is in the business to save you. Yeah, he saved my life again. This is the 7th accident this year, and he saved my life again. I said, yep. Then he said, am I going to be ugly? I said, I don't know, but I don't care. Do I have brain damage? I said, impossible. You cannot have brain damage because you don't have a brain. What was wrong with you to go up the mountain? You don't have a brain in that head. He was like, don't make me laugh. It hurts. And then he said, Dad, I want to change. Every time I decided to change, I'm not able to. I said, who told you that you can change? Stop trying. Stop saying, we will do all that the Lord said. You are not able to. But what should I do, Dad? Surrender, son, and call Jesus in your life every day. That's your only safety. Who calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. Invite his presence. Call him in your life every morning. Say, Lord, I want to, but I am not able to. Would you please come into my life? He said, okay, I will do that. I said, let's pray. I prayed, and then he prayed like 5 words. He said, Lord, please help me. I cannot do it. Amen. That was a nice prayer. He never did stupid stuff since. That was 11 years ago. He wakes up every morning. He studies. He prays. He goes to church. He's involved in church. He calls me like 10 times a day, too much, you know. But prayer works. Amen. It's not the blah, 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 blah prayer. It is the real surrendering, laboring, death and life prayer that works. That's the way we are supposed to pray. Now, I told stories, and that was the introduction, and I didn't manage to go into the sermon. And so, what time are you supposed to finish? 7:30. You know what? We do it tomorrow morning. We don't have time for the sermon. I do have a sermon, and I think it's extremely important. I really believe we need to go through that subject to show you a little how to pray. But we'll do it tomorrow morning because it's breakfast time. I never miss breakfast.
You fasted long enough today already.
Yes. Thank you. I fully agree. And so, folks, you don't need to see an answer in order to trust God. You need to know God in order to trust God. Because the more you pray, the more you know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the more peace you have whatever you go through. And the more peace you have, the more joy you have in your life. So people that don't have joy are the people that don't have faith. And they don't have faith because they don't know their God. And they don't know their God because they don't pray. They just think they pray. When you pray, you have peace and you have joy, whatever you go through. And even when you don't understand what is going on, you know your God and you trust in Him. And that honors God and allows Him to work. And then He can work character and He can work miracles in your life. God is not short. God never changed. He's the same. He can move mountains. He can split the sea today as He did that time. In fact, I'm going to give you a quick story before we finish. I was in the university in Romania in that time during communism. To be in school was a miracle. It was not that you go, you pay the registration and the tuition and you are in school. It was close to impossible. How many of you know the story? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. It was, pretend you don't know it. It was close to impossible to get in school. To get in school, you would have to pass 3 days, 8 hours a day exam. First day, 8 hours mathematics, 2 hours algebra, 2 hours trigonometry, 2 hours geometry, 2 hours calculus. Next day, 8 hours physics exam, 2 hours mechanic physics, 2 hours static physics, 2 hours electronic physics, and 2 hours nuclear physics. And then next day, 8 hours languages exam, 2 hours writing, 2 hours composition, 2 hours, I don't remember what, 8 hours. And there were like thousands of students competing for a few seats, they call them seats, available openings. When I went to school, there were 976 students competing for 10 seats. So it didn't matter if you got an A. You must have been among top 10 to be in. So if you got a 3.97, but there were 10 people that had 3.99, you're out. Because you're supposed to be among top 10. You follow me? And so, if you're the 11th, that was not good enough. I was the 4th among top 10, so I got accepted in school. After just 3 months of school, they called me and they said, you don't come to school Saturdays. And we had school on Saturdays. And I said, yep. We know, we checked you. You are an Adventist. I said, yep. We don't have a God in this country. We don't believe in God. And so you are out. In our law, if you don't go to school because of religion, you'll be expelled without any right to register in any school for the rest of your life. That's the end of your education. And so they said, this Saturday, it's your last school day. If you come to school on Saturday, we forgive you and let you continue. If not, we will expel you from the school and you'll never ever be allowed to register in any school in Romania. That was the end of my education. So what would you do if they tell you we are going to take your job, we are going to take your school, we are going to take your freedom? What will you do? Well, don't answer because I don't want you to lie. It's easy to say, oh, I will keep going to church on Sabbath. Before you face the trial, when you face the trial, you say, who's going to pay the bills? You follow me? And that's the way we are. We lose faith. Because we don't know our God. And so I started to pray. But I didn't pray the intercessory prayer. I prayed the petition prayer. And I said, Lord, please save my education. Lord, please save my education. Lord, please. And I prayed the whole night. And guess what? God didn't answer my prayer. And I prayed again and labored and struggled. I said, please save my education. And God did not answer my prayer, and I had no joy. So I called my dad. I said, I'm losing school. What should I do? Should I go to school on Sabbath? And my father said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm losing education. He said, well, do you love Jesus? I said, yes, with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your power, more than anything else. Yes. Okay, you got your answer. Bye. I said, I called him back. What do you mean? He said, okay, I am asking you again. Do you love Jesus? Yes. With all your heart? Yes. He said, son, think about it. It's easy to say, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's baloney. Prove it. Do you love Jesus more than anything else? Yes. More than school? Yes. Then you got your answer. Ah, now I got what he meant. You follow me? He said, yeah, but I lose education. He said, well, do you love Jesus more than education? Yes. Then you got your answer. But you know, he can save my education. He said, no. What if he doesn't want to? Do you still love him? Why would he not save my education? Hey, stop arguing with God. Do you love him more than education? Yes. Then leave him alone. He is able to save your education if he wants to. He said, remember the three young men. They said, God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not worship the image. You remember? And my dad said, God can save your education, but even if he doesn't want to, you still need to obey him. Because obedience is based on love, not on blessings. You follow me? And so I said, but I've been praying that he saves my education. And my father said, son, you prayed the wrong prayer. Hello? He said, when you pray, trying to solve your problems, you prayed the wrong prayer. How long did you pray that God saves your education? For the last 2 days and two nights. He said, well, God heard you first time when you prayed. If he said no, stop pestering him to death. Rather accept it. And then my father said, stop praying for you. It's time for you to learn to pray for God. I said, what? God doesn't need my prayer. He said, oh, yes, he does. Didn't Jesus ask the disciples to pray for him? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we people put ourselves in the center instead of putting God in the center. Do you follow? And all we do, and all we talk, and all we pray, it's about me. Help me, bless me, me. It's time for you to forget you, to sacrifice you. I've been sacrificed, and I no longer live. You follow me? And my father said, stop praying for you. Stop praying for your benefits. Stop praying for your education. Stop praying for your job. Stop praying for your health. Stop praying for your life. After you present it to God, say, okay, I gave it to you. Now I'm going to spend time praying for you. Lord, don't answer my prayer, please. But do whatever you want, not what I want. So if it's for your benefit that I am in school, help me to be in school to glorify you, not to get an education. And if it's for your benefit that I lose school, help me lose school and happen whatever could glorify you. Help me live for you. Do whatever in my life that would glorify you and would make me an example and would help these people that are communists and they don't know God, would help these people to know God. And he said, that's what you need to pray for. You follow me? Oh, that was a tough prayer to pray. So I said, oh, okay. I went to pray. I said, Lord, I would love you to save my education. But it's hard to pray, but I'm going to say it. If you want me to lose it, and man, I could not say the words. If you want me to lose it, okay. Help me to accept it, but help me regardless if I'm in school or I am out, to represent you properly, to the point that these communist people around me would have a chance to know you and be saved. In the moment, I had been praying for 2 days and two nights and had no peace. Do you ever pray and you have no peace? And you still struggle? In the moment I surrendered and gave it up and said, I will accept it, but help me focus on you, not on me. Help me represent you. Help me allow you to use me. Help me show these people that there is a God. May your will be done. In the moment I put God in the center, in that instant, a presence came around me. And I cannot explain it because I got goosebumps and I sensed that God was there and I was afraid to open my eyes and I stopped praying. I was afraid to open my mouth and I was like, wow, God is here. What can I say that he doesn't know? And I was quiet. And after I was quiet a few seconds, I said, thank you, Lord. And then I started to sing for some reason. I started to sing. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me, but I had peace. I said, I don't care if I lose my school. At this moment, I really don't care. All I want to be with you. So I called my dad. You know, I prayed like never before in my life, and this is what happened. And my father said, now we talk prayer. He said, son, I've been trying to tell you that all your life, and you never got it. This is how you pray. You put God in the center, you seek his will, you seek his presence, and then you trust him. That's how you pray. You don't pray you pray God. You follow me? You surrender you. You should decrease and he shall increase. So I said, Lord, I don't care if I lose school. May your will be done. All I care is that your will happens and I represent you properly. To finish the story, I went to school and I talked to the secretary and I said, listen, Mrs. Radu, what can I do to save school? I said, nothing. In this country, nobody, like go to North Korea. Can anybody save you from the government? They do whatever they want. There is no court, there is no justice. If they want to kill you, if they want to put you in prison, they do it. There is no justice. And she says, nobody can help you. If you do something stupid, you steal, you whatever, we can save you. We call somebody, we talk to somebody, we can. But when it's religion and God, nobody. If somebody will try to save you, we lose our jobs and our freedom. And she said, nobody can help you. And I told her, I said, well, you are wrong. God can help me. And she said, you are stupid. There is no God. God doesn't exist. Nobody can help you. Nobody can save you from a communist government. I said, no, lady, you don't know my God. My God can save me if he wants to. She said, Goya, come to school on Saturday and you just stay there in school and in your mind you worship. I said, lady, when you compromise, you are already far away from God. I'm not going to come. Even if I lose education, I don't care. And then I went to the dean. I said, please, please, don't expel me. He said, get out. There is no God. I want to see that God that can save you from our hands. Get out. Okay. I got out. That was Thursday. Thursday night, I didn't even pray for school. I said, Lord, I have peace in my heart. Like a fountain, like an ocean. I have peace. All I ask is that you help these people know that there is a God in heaven. These people don't know you. They are communists. And God answered that prayer when I focused on God instead of focusing on me. Friday, I went to school. And Mrs. Radu, the school secretary, came to me and said, Goya, do you know Ceaușescu? Ceaușescu was the president, the dictator. Do you know Ceaușescu? I said, yeah, I see him on TV every day. He says, no. Are you friends, you and the president of the country? I said, are you kidding me? How could I be friends with him? Nobody gets close to that guy. So you don't know him? No. Do you know anybody in the government? No. All I know about government, when I don't have money to buy flowers to my wife, I go in front of the palace, the government building. There are thousands of roses. I just take one for free for my wife. That's all the government I know. She said, you crazy. I said, everybody tells me that, nothing new. And then she said, you know, Goya, I think you are right. There is a God in heaven. I said, I told you, but why? And she said, today, Ceausescu, the president of the country, gave a law. Starting today, there will not be school in any school in Romania on Saturdays. She said, the president announced on TV today that he wants to save the economy. So he will close all the schools on Saturdays. So there will be no power, no electricity, no heat, no cooling, no nothing. And that would save so much a year. If this law came next week, you would have been out for the rest of your life. In that moment, the Bible verse came in my mind from Isaiah that says, because I love you, I give nations for you. And I told her, lady, there is a God in heaven. But folks, it is not when you focus on you in prayer, but when you learn to put God in the center of your life, then God can work in your life too. God delights in helping his children. But we need to learn that God comes first. If you seek first God and his kingdom, the other things will be provided. But God must come above the other things. Yeah, let's finish because I'm really hungry. Let's have a prayer and we do the sermon tomorrow. Today we just did some stories. Okay? Let's pray. So, Father, we come in your presence and we don't even know how to pray. But we do want to spend time with you. We do want to know you. We do want to walk with you and to hear you and to trust you and to love you and to fully surrender. And that's impossible in our power. Please do whatever it takes in our life to grow us, to teach us faith, to teach us surrender, to teach us dependence on you. So you would be able to work in us, through us. Not only a character like Jesus, but also to make us a light and a blessing for others that don't know you. Help us start growing. Teach us how to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you tomorrow morning.